The NBC Star Playhouse. NBC presents many of the most eminent actors of our time transcribed in the NBC Star Playhouse. And here is our host, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, to introduce this week's star and play. Mr. Chapman.
Thank you. Tomorrow may be the last Ides of March for that lean and hungry Cassius, the federal tax collector. This may be mixing up Shakespeare a bit, but it does make a point. The plan now seems to be to make the tax deadline the Ides of April instead. And this move will render unto Caesar all things that are Caesar's. Tomorrow, as of next year, will belong to Caesar exclusively as his fateful day. And now, as befits the time, we shall have a Star Playhouse performance of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, which, to me, is the best of all the great man's melodramas. Our Mark Antony will be Alfred Drake. A good many playgoers who remember Alfred singing about a beautiful morning in Oklahoma, or who have seen him as a conniving street poet in his current hit, Kismet, think of him only as a musical comedy man. They may think his only previous scuffle with the Bard of Avon was when he sang a Broadway Petruchio in Kiss Me, Kate, which was a happy-go-lucky adaptation of The Taming of the Shrew. But Alfred Drake's career has included a large amount of straight acting, on Broadway and in stock, and several Shakespeare productions have been included. For this performance, our Julius Caesar will be Santos Ortega. Our friend Cassius will be played by Stotz Cotsworth, and Brutus will be Alexander Scourby. So now, let us journey back to Rome in the month of March, 1,998 years ago. This is Rome. We are standing just outside the entrance to the new forum, where a large crowd has gathered to watch the arrival of Caesar. Calpurnia is with him this morning, and there is Brutus in the procession, and Cassius, and, as always at Caesar's side, Mark Antony. The procession has paused. Caesar looks about. He seems about to speak.
Calpurnia!
Peace, ho! Peace, Caesar, speak!
Calpurnia!
Here, my lord.
Stand you directly in Antonius's way when he doth run his course. Antonius!
Caesar, my lord.
Forget not in your speed, Antonius, to touch Calpurnia. For our elders say the baron touched in this holy chase. Shake off their sterile curse.
I shall remember. When Caesar says do this, it is performed.
Set on, and leave no ceremony out.
Caesar!
Huh? Who calls?
Bid every noise be still. Peace yet again.
Who is it in the press that calls on me? I hear a tongue shriller than all the music, cries Caesar. Speak! Caesar is turned to hear.
Beware the Ides of March.
Here's a dreamer. Let us leave him. Pass!
Good brother Brutus.
Cassius?
Will you go see the order of the course?
Not I.
I pray you do.
I am not gamesome. I do lack some part of that quick spirit that is in Antony. Let me not hinder, Cassius, your desires. I'll leave you.
Brutus, I do observe you now of late. I have not from your eyes that gentleness and show of love as I was wont to have. You bear too stubborn and too strange a hand over your friend that loves you.
Cassius, be not deceived. If I have veiled my look, I turn the trouble of my countenance merely upon myself. Vexed I am of late with passions of some difference, conceptions only proper to myself, which give some soil, perhaps, to my behaviors. But let not, therefore, my good friends be grieved, among which number, Cassius, be you one.
Then, Brutus, I have much mistook your passion. Tell me, good Brutus, can you see your face?
No, Cassius, for the eye sees not itself, but by reflection, by some other things.
Therefore, good Brutus, be prepared to hear. And since you know you cannot see yourself so well as by reflection, I, your glass, will modestly discover to yourself that of yourself which you yet know not of.
What means this shouting? I do fear the people choose Caesar for their king.
Eh, do you fear it? Then must I think you would not have it so.
What is it that you would impart to me? If it be aught to the general good, set honor in one eye and death in the other, and I will look on both indifferently. For let the gods so speed me, as I love the name of honor more than I fear death.
I was born free as Caesar, so were you. We both have fed as well. We can both endure the winter's cold as well as he. And this man is now become a god. And Cassius is a wretched creature and must bend his body if Caesar carelessly but nod on him.
Another general shout. I do believe that these applauses are for some new honors that are heaped on Caesar.
My man, he doth bestride the narrow world like a colossus. And we petty men walk under his huge legs and peep about to find ourselves dishonorable graves. Men at some time are masters of their fates. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings. Brutus and Caesar. What should be in that Caesar? Why should that name be sounded more than yours? Now, in the names of all the gods at once, upon what meat doth this our Caesar feed that he has grown so great? Age, thou art shamed. Rome, thou hast lost the breed of noble bloods. When went there by an age since the great flood, but it was famed with more than with one man? When could they say till now that talked of Rome, that her wide walls encompassed but one man?
What you have said, I will consider. What you have to say, I will with patience hear, and find a time both meet to hear and answer such high things. Till then, my noble friend, chew upon this. Brutus had rather be a villager than to repute himself a son of Rome under these hard conditions as this time is like to lay upon us.
I am glad that my weak words have struck but this much show of fire from Brutus.
The games are done and Caesar is returning.
As they pass by, pluck Casca by the sleeve, and he will, after his sour fashion, tell you what hath proceeded worthy note today.
I will do so. But look you, Cassius, the angry spot doth glow on Caesar's brow as we have seen him in the Capitol being crossed in conference by some senators.
Casca will tell us what the matter is.
Antonius.
Caesar?
Let me have men about me that are fat, sleek-headed men, and such as sleeper knights. Yon Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous.
Fear him not, Caesar. He's not dangerous. He is a noble Roman and well given.
Would he were fatter, but I fear him not. I rather tell thee what is to be feared than what I fear. For always I am Caesar. Come on my right hand, for this ear is deaf. And tell me truly what thou thinkst.
You pulled me by the cloak. Would you speak with me, Brutus?
Aye, Casca. Tell us what hath chanced today that Caesar looks so sad.
Why, you were with him, were you not?
I should not then ask Casca what hath chanced.
Why, there was a crown offered him, and being offered him, he put it by with the back of his hand thus, and then the people fell a-shouting.
What was the second noise for?
Why, for that, too.
They shouted thrice. What was the last cry for?
Why, for that, too.
Was the crown offered him thrice?
Aye, marry was, and he put it by thrice, every time gentler than another, and at every putting by, mine honest neighbor shouted.
Who offered him the crown?
Why, Antony. And still as he refused it, the rabblement hooted and clapped their chopped hands, and then did Caesar swoon.
But soft, I pray you, what did Caesar swoon?
He fell down in the marketplace and foamed at mouth and was speechless.
Did Cicero say anything?
Aye, he spoke Greek.
To what effect?
Nay, and I tell you that, I'll never look you in the face again. But those that understood him smiled at one another and shook their heads. But for mine own part, it was Greek to me.
Will you sup with me tonight, Kaska?
No, I'm promised for.
Will you dine with me tomorrow?
Aye, if I be alive and your mind hold and your dinner worth eating.
Good. I will expect you.
Do so. Farewell, both.
For this time, I will leave you, Cassius. Tomorrow, if you please to speak with me, I will come home to you. Or if you will come home to me, and I will wait for you.
I will do so. Till then, think of the world.
Boy? Lucius.
Called you, my lord?
Get me a taper in my study, Lucius. When it is lighted, come and call me here.
I will, my lord.
It must be by his death. And for my part, I know no personal cause to spurn at him but for the general. He would be crowned. How that might change his nature, there's the question. It is the bright day that brings forth the adder, and that craves wary walking.
The taper burneth in your closet, sir.
Is not tomorrow, boy, the Ides of March?
It is, sir. March has wasted 15 days.
'Tis good. Go to the gate, somebody knocks. Since Cassius first did whet me against Caesar, I have not slept. Between the acting of a dreadful thing and the first motion, all the interim is like a phantasma or a hideous dream.
Sir, 'tis your brother Cassius at the gate who doth desire to see you.
Is he alone?
No, sir, there are more with him.
Do you know them?
No, sir. Their hats are plucked about their ears and half their faces buried in their cloaks.
Let them enter.
I think we are too bold upon your rest. Good morrow, Brutus. Do we trouble you?
I have been up this hour, awake all night. Know I these men that come along with you?
Yes, every man of them, and no man here but honors you. This is Trebonius.
He is welcome hither.
This Decius Brutus.
He is welcome,
my lord.
This Casca.
Aye.
This Cinna, and this Metellus Cimber.
They are all welcome. What watchful cares do interpose themselves betwixt your eyes and night?
Yon gray lines that fret the clouds are messengers of day, and the Ides of March need but an hour to dawn.
Give me your hands all over.
Aye.
One by one.
And let us swear our resolution.
No. Not an oath.
Shall no man else be touched but only Caesar?
Casca well urged. I think it is not meet Mark Antony, so well beloved of Caesar, should outlive Caesar. We shall find of him a shrewd contriver. Let Antony and Caesar fall together.
Our course will seem too bloody, Caius Cassius, to cut the head off and then hack the limbs, like wrath in death and envy afterwards, for Antony is but a limb of Caesar. Let us be sacrificers, but not butchers, Caius. We all stand up against the spirit of Caesar, and in the spirit of men there is no blood. Oh, that we then could come by Caesar's spirit and not dismember Caesar. But alas, Caesar must bleed for it. And gentle friends, let's kill him boldly, but not wrathfully. Let's carve him as a dish fit for the gods, not hew him as a carcass fit for hounds. Peace. The day has come.
It is time to part.
But it is doubtful yet whether Caesar will come forth today or no.
Never fear that. If he be so resolved, I can o'ersway him and bring him to the capital.
By the eighth hour. Is that the uttermost?
Be that the uttermost, and fail not then. The morning comes upon us. We'll leave you, Brutus. And friends, disperse yourselves, but all remember what you have said, and show yourselves true Romans.
Brutus, my lord.
Portia. What mean you? Wherefore rise you now?
Dear my lord, make me acquainted with your cause of grief.
I am not well in health, and that is all.
No, my Brutus. You have some sick offense within your mind, which by the right and virtue of my place I ought to know. Upon my knees I beg to know why you are heavy.
Kneel not, gentle Portia.
I should not need, if you were gentle Brutus. Within the bond of marriage, tell me, Brutus, is it accepted I should know no secrets that appertain to you? Dwell I but in the suburbs of your good pleasure? If it be no more, Portia is Brutus' harlot, not his wife.
You are my true and honorable wife. As dear to me as are the ruddy drops that visit my sad heart.
If this were true, then should I know this secret. I grant I am a woman, but withal a woman that Lord Brutus took to wife. I grant I am a woman, but withal a woman well reputed, Cato's daughter. Think you I am no stronger than my sex, being so fathered and so husbanded?
Oh, ye gods, render me worthy of this noble wife. Portia, go in a while, and by thy bosom shall partake the secrets of my heart. Leave me now. In but a little while, I'll come to thee.
Nor heaven nor earth have been at peace tonight. Thrice hath Calpurnia in a sleep cried out, "Help, ho, they murder Caesar." Who's within?
My lord.
Go bid the priest do present sacrifice and bring me their opinions of success.
I will, my lord.
What mean you, Caesar? Think you to walk forth? You shall not stir out of your house today.
Caesar shall forth. The things that threatened me ne'er looked but on my back. When they shall see the face of Caesar, they are vanished.
Caesar, I never stood on ceremonies, yet now they fright me. There is one within, besides the things that we have heard and seen, recounts most horrid sights seen by the watch. A lioness hath whelped in the streets, and graves have yawned and yielded up their dead. Fierce, fiery warriors fought upon the clouds, and ghosts did shriek and squeal about the streets. Oh, Caesar, these things are beyond all use, and I do fear them.
What can be avoided whose end is purposed by the mighty gods? Yet Caesar shall go forth, for these predictions are to the world in general, as to Caesar.
When beggars die, there are no comets seen. The heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes.
Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. What say the augurers?
They would not have you to stir forth today. Picking the entrails of an offering forth, they could not find a heart within the beast.
The gods do this in shame of cowardice. Caesar should be a beast without a heart if he should stay at home today for fear. No, Caesar shall not.
Alas, my lord, your wisdom is consumed in confidence. Do not go forth today. Call it my fear that keeps you in the house and not your own. We'll send Mark Antony to the Senate House, and he shall say you are not well today. Or let me, upon my knee, prevail in this.
Mark Antony shall say I am not well. And for thy humor, I will stay at home.
Caesar, all hail.
Here's Decius Brutus. He shall tell them so.
Good morrow, worthy Caesar. I come to fetch you to the Senate House.
And you are come in very happy time to bear my greetings to the senators and tell them I will not come today.
Say he is sick.
Shall Caesar send a lie? Have I in conquest stretched my arm so far to be afeard to tell graybeards the truth? Decius, go tell them Caesar will not come.
Most mighty Caesar, let me know some cause, lest I be laughed at when I tell them so.
The cause is in my will. I will not come. That is enough to satisfy the Senate.
Know it now. The Senate have concluded to give this day a crown to mighty Caesar. If you shall send them word you will not come, their minds may change.
How foolish do your fears seem now, Calpurnia. Give me my robe, for I will go. Good Decius, go in and taste some wine with me. And we, like friends, will straightway go together. Are we all ready? What is now amiss that Caesar and his Senate must redress?
Most high, most mighty, and most puissant Caesar, Metellus Cimber throws before thy seat an humble heart.
I must prevent thee, Cimber, these couchings and these lowly courtesies. Thy brother by decree is banished. If thou dost bend and pray and fawn for him, I spurn thee like a cur out of my way.
Is there no voice more worthy than my own to sound more sweetly in great Caesar's ear for the repealing of my banished brother?
I kiss thy hand, but not in flattery, Caesar, desiring thee that Publius Cimber may have an immediate freedom of repeal.
What? Brutus?
Pardon, Caesar. Caesar, pardon. As low as to thy foot doth Cassius fall to beg enfranchisement for Publius Cimber.
I could be well moved if I were as you. If I could pray to move, prayers would move me. But I am constant as the northern star, of whose true fixed and resting quality there is no fellow in the firmament. Let me a little show it, even in this, that I was constant, Cimber should be banished. And constant do remain to keep him so.
O Caesar!
Hence wilt thou lift up Olympus.
Great Caesar!
Doth not Brutus bootless kneel?
Speak hands for me!
Et tu, Brute, then fall, Caesar.
Liberty! Freedom!
Tyranny is dead! Run hence! Proclaim it! Try it about the
streets! Senators, be not affrighted. There is no harm intended to your person, nor to any Roman else. Leave us, and let no man abide this deed but we the doers.
Fates, we will know your pleasures. That we shall die, we know. 'Tis but the time and drawing days out that men stand upon.
Why, he that cuts off 20 years of life cuts off so many years of fearing death.
Grant that, and then is death a benefit? So are we Caesar's friends that have abridged his time of fearing death. Stoop, Romans, stoop, and let us bathe our hands in Caesar's blood. Then walk we forth even to the marketplace, and waving our red weapons o'er our heads, let's all cry, peace, freedom, and liberty.
Stoop then, and wash. How many ages hence shall this our lofty scene be acted over in states unborn? And accents yet unknown.
Soft. Who comes here?
Anthony.
Welcome, Mark Antony.
O mighty Caesar, dost thou lie so low? Are all thy conquests, glories, triumphs, spoils shrunk to this little measure? Fare thee well.
I know not, gentlemen, what you intend. Who else must be let blood? Who else is rank? If I myself, there is no hour so fit as Caesar's death hour, nor no instrument of half that worth as those your swords made rich with the most noble blood of all this world. I do beseech ye, if you bear me hard now, whilst your purpled hands do reek and smoke, fulfill your pleasure. Live 1,000 years, I shall not find myself so apt to die. No place will please me so, no mean of death, as here by Caesar, and by you cut off. The choice and master spirits of this age.
O Antony, beg not your death of us. To you our swords have leaden points. Our arms in strength of malice and our hearts of brother's temper do receive you in with all kind love, good thoughts, and reverence.
Your voice shall be as strong as any man's in the disposing of new dignities.
Only be patient till we have appeased the multitude. And then we will deliver you the cause why I, that did love Caesar when I struck him, have thus proceeded.
Gentlemen all, alas, what shall I say? My credit now stands on such slippery ground that one of two bad ways you must conceit me, either a coward or a flatterer.
Pardon me, Julius. Here wast thou bade, brave heart. Here didst thou fall, and here thy hunters stand, signed in thy spoil and crimsoned in thy lethe. O world, thou wast the forest to this heart, and this indeed, O world, the heart of thee. How like a deer strucken by many princes dost thou here lie?
Mark Antony!
Pardon me, Caius Cassius. The enemies of Caesar shall say this? Then, in a friend, it is cold modesty.
I blame you not for praising Caesar so. But what compact mean you to have with us?
Friends am I with you all, and love you all, upon this hope, that you shall give me reasons why and wherein Caesar was dangerous.
Or else were this a savage spectacle. Our reasons are so full of good regard that were you Antony the son of Caesar, you should be satisfied.
That's all I seek. And am moreover suitor, that I may produce his body to the marketplace, and in the pulpit, as becomes a friend, speak in the order of his funeral.
You shall, Mark Antony.
Brutus, a word with you. You know not what you do. Do not consent that Antony speak in his funeral. Know you how much the people may be moved by that which he will utter?
By your pardon, I will show myself into the pulpit first and show the reason of our Caesar's death. What Antony shall speak, I will protest he speaks by leave and by permission. It shall advantage more than do us wrong.
I know not what may fall. I like it not.
Mark Antony, here take you Caesar's body. You shall not in your funeral speech blame us, but speak all good you can devise of Caesar, and say you do it by our permission.
Be it so. I do desire no more.
Prepare the body, then, and follow us.
Oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which like dumb mouths do ope their ruby lips to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. Blood and destruction shall be so in use, and dreadful objects so familiar, that mothers shall but smile when they behold their infants quartered with the hands of war, all pity choked with custom of fell deeds. And Caesar's spirit, ranging for revenge, with 80 by his side, come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry havoc! And let slip the dogs of war that this foul deed shall smell above the earth with carrion men groaning for burial.
In a moment, Act Two of Julius Caesar, starring Alfred Drake on the NBC Star Playhouse. Our program will continue after a 30-second pause for station identification.
News of Caesar's death has spread quickly, and already the forum is packed with shocked and wondering citizens. Brutus has come out of the Senate House and is waiting on the pulpit to gain their attention.
Romans! Romans! Countrymen! Hear me for my cause and be silent that you may hear. Believe me for mine honor. And have respect to mine honor that you may believe. Censure me in your wisdom and awake your senses that you may the better judge. If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar's, to him I say that Brutus' love to Caesar was no less than his. If then that friend demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves than that Caesar were dead to live all freemen? As Caesar loved me, I weep for him. As he was fortunate, I rejoice at it. As he was valiant, I honor him. But as he was ambitious, I slew him. There is tears for his love, joy for his fortune, honor for his valor, and death for his ambition. is here so base that would be a bondman. If any speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so rude that would not be a Roman? If any speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so vile that will not love his country? If any speak, for him have I offended. I pause for a reply.
None, Brutus, none!
Then none have I offended. I have done no more to Caesar than you shall do to Brutus. Here comes his body mourned by Mark Antony, who, though he had no hand in his death, shall receive the benefit of his dying, a place in the commonwealth, as which of you shall not. With this I depart, that as I slew my best friend for the good of Rome, I have the same dagger for myself when it shall please my country to need my death.
Live, Brutus, live!
My countrymen!
Silence! Brutus speaks!
Good countrymen, let me depart alone, and for my sake stay here with Antony. I do entreat you not a man depart, save I alone, till Antony have spoke.
We're blessed to speak the harm of Brutus here.
Ah, this Caesar was a tyrant.
We are blessed that Rome is rid of him.
You gentle Romans, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. The noble Brutus hath told you Caesar was ambitious. If it were so, it was a grievous fault, and grievously hath Caesar answered it. Here, under leave of Brutus and the rest, for Brutus is an honorable man, so are they all honorable men, come I to speak in Caesar's funeral. He was my friend, faithful and just to me. But Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. He hath brought many captives home to Rome, whose ransoms did the general coffers fill. Did this in Caesar seem ambitious? When that the poor have cried, Caesar hath wept. Ambition should be made of sterner stuff. Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. You all did see that on the Lupercal I thrice presented him a kingly crown, which he did thrice refuse. Was this ambition? Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and sure, he is an honorable man. I speak not to disprove what Brutus spoke, but here I am to speak what I do know. You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause withholds you then to mourn for him? Oh, judgment! Thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me. My heart is in the coffin there with Caesar, and I must pause till it come back to me.
Methinks there is much reason in his sayings.
If thou consider rightly of the matter, Caesar has had great wrong.
There's not a nobler man in Rome than Antony.
Shh, mark him. He begins again to speak.
Oh, yes.
Here's a parchment with the seal of Caesar. I found it in his closet. 'Tis his will. Let but the commons hear this testament, which, pardon me, I do not mean to read, and they would go and kiss dead Caesar's wounds and dip their napkins in his sacred blood.
We hear the will.
Read the will.
That's what we
hear the will.
We want the will. We pay the will.
Will you be patient? Will you stay a while? I have o'ershot myself to tell you of it. I fear I wrong the honorable men whose daggers have stabbed Caesar. I do fear it.
Read the will.
You will compel me then to read the will. Then make a ring about the corpse of Caesar, and let me show you him that made the will.
The will.
If you have tears, prepare to shed them now. You all do know this mantle. I remember the first time ever Caesar put it on. 'Twas on a summer's evening in his tent, that day he overcame the Nervii. Look, in this place ran Cassius's dagger through. See what a rent the envious Casca made. Through this, the well-beloved Brutus stabbed. And as he plucked his cursed steel away, mark how the blood of Caesar followed it, as rushing out of doors to be resolved if Brutus so unkindly knocked or no. For Brutus, as you know, was Caesar's angel. Judge, O you gods, how dearly Caesar loved him. This was the most unkindest cut of all. For when the noble Caesar saw him stab, ingratitude more strong than traitor's arms quite vanquished him. Then burst his mighty heart, and in his mantle, muffling up his face, even at the base of Pompey's statue, which all the time ran blood, great Caesar fell. Oh, what a fall was there, my countrymen! Then I and you and all of us fell down, whilst bloody treason flourished over us! Oh, now you weep, and I perceive you feel the dint of pity. These are gracious drops. Kind souls, what? Weep you when you but behold our Caesar's vesture wounded?
Look you here. Here is himself, marred, as you see, with traitors.
Oh, noble Caesar!
Oh, woeful day!
Traitors!
Stay, countrymen! Stay, countrymen! Good friends, sweet friends, let me not stir you up to such a sudden flood of mutiny. They that have done this deed are honorable. What private griefs they have, alas, I know not, that made them do it. They are wise and honorable, and will no doubt with reasons answer you. I come not, friends, to steal away your hearts. I am no orator, as Brutus is. But, as you know me all, a plain, blunt man that love my friend, and that they know full well that gave me public leave to speak of him. For I have neither wit, nor words, nor worth, action, nor utterance, nor the power of speech to stir men's blood. I only speak right on. I tell you that which you yourselves do know. Show you sweet Caesar's wounds. Poor, poor dumb mouths. And bid them speak for me. But were I Brutus and Brutus Antony, there were an Antony would ruffle up your spirits and put a tongue in every wound of Caesar that should move the stones of Rome to rise and mutiny. Friends, my friends, you go to do you know not what. Wherein hath Caesar thus deserved your love? Alas, you know not. I must tell you then. You have forgot the will I told you of.
No! Hear the will!
Here is the will. And under Caesar's seal, to every Roman citizen he gives, to every several man, 75 drachmas. Moreover, he hath left you all his walks, his private arbors and new planted orchards on this side Tiber. He hath left them you and to your heirs forever. Common pleasures to walk abroad and recreate yourselves. Here was a Caesar. When comes another?
Mischief, thou art afoot. Take thou what course thou wilt.
How now, fellow?
Sir, Octavius has already come to Rome.
Where is he?
He in Lepidus, sir, at Caesar's house.
And thither will I go straight to visit him. He comes upon a wish. Fortune is merry, and in this mood will give us anything.
I hear him say Brutus and Cassius are rid like madmen through the gates of Rome.
Belike they had some notice of the people, how I had moved them. Bring me to Octavius.
Stand hold. Make lodgings for yourselves. Most noble brother.
Good Cassius.
Why look you so sad, noble Brutus?
Come into my tent, Caius Cassius. I'm sick of many griefs.
Of your philosophy you make no use if you give place to accidental evils.
No man bears sorrow better. Portia is dead.
Ah! Portia.
She is dead.
Oh, insupportable and touching loss. Upon what sickness?
Impatient of my absence, and grief that young Octavius with Mark Antony have made themselves so strong, for with her death that tidings came. With this she fell distract, and her attendants absent, swallowed fire.
And died so.
Even so.
Oh, ye immortal gods.
Speak no more of her. Give me a bowl of wine. In this, I bury all unkindness.
My heart is thirsty for that noble pledge. I cannot drink too much of Brutus' love.
Well, to our work. What do you think of marching to Philippi presently?
I do not think it good.
Your reason?
This it is. 'Tis better that the forces of Octavius and Antony seek us. So shall they waste their means, weary their soldiers, doing themselves offense, while we, lying still, are full of rest, defense, and nimbleness.
Good reasons must of force give place to better. The enemy increaseth every day. We at the height are ready to decline. There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures.
Then with your will, go on. We'll along ourselves and meet them at Philippi.
The deep of night has crept upon our talk, and nature must obey necessity, which we will niggard with a little rest. Is there no more to say?
No more. Good night. Early tomorrow we will rise and hence. Good night, my lord.
Good night, my brother. Lucius.
You called, my lord?
Where is thy instrument?
Here in the tent.
Why, thou speakst drowsily. Poor knave, I blame thee not, thou art o'erwatched. Canst thou hold up thy heavy eyes a while and touch thy instrument a strain or two?
Aye, my lord, and please you.
It does, my boy. I trouble thee too much, but thou art willing.
It is my duty, sir.
I should not urge thy duty past thy might. I know young bloods look for a time of rest.
I have slept, my lord, already.
It was well done. And thou shalt sleep again. I will not hold thee long. If I do live, I will be good to thee. Oh, this is a sleepy tune. Oh, murderous slumber. Layst thou thy leaden mace upon my boy that plays thee music. Gentle knave, good night. Brutus.
Huh?
Who comes here?
Thy evil spirit, Brutus.
Why comest thou?
To tell thee thou shalt see me at Philippi.
Well, then I shall see thee again.
Aye, at Philippi.
Why, I will see thee at Philippi, right then.
Aye, at Philippi.
Now I've taken heart, thou vanishest. Ill spirit, I would hold talk with thee. Boy, Lucius.
My lord.
Didst thou see anything?
Nothing, my lord. I saw nothing.
Go and commend me to my brother Cassius. Bid him set on his powers betimes before, and we will follow.
It shall be done, my lord.
Thank you.
Now, Antony, our hopes are answered. You said the enemy would not come down, but keep the hills and upper regions. It proves not so.
Tut, I am in their bosoms, and I know wherefore they do it. They could be content to visit other places and come down with fearful bravery, thinking by this face to fasten in our thoughts that they have courage. But 'tis not so.
The enemy comes on in gallant show. Their bloody sign of battle is hung out, and something to be done immediately.
Octavius, lead your battle softly on upon the left hand of the even field.
Upon the right hand, I keep thou the left.
Why do you cross me in this exigent?
I do not cross you, but I will do so. They stand and would have parley. Shall we give sign of battle?
No, Octavius. We will answer on their charge. Make forth. The generals would have some words.
Turn off until the signal.
Words before blows. Is it so, countrymen?
Not that we love words better, as you do.
Good words are better than bad strokes, Octavius.
In your bad strokes, Brutus, you give good words. Witness the hole you made in Caesar's heart, crying, "Long live! Hail, Caesar!" Whilst damned Casca, like a cur behind, struck Caesar on the neck. Oh, you flatterers,
flatterers! Now, Brutus, thank yourself. This tongue had not offended so today if Cassius might have ruled. Come, come, the cause. If arguing make us sweat, the proof of it will turn to redder drops. Look, I draw a sword against conspirators. When think you that the sword goes up again? Never, till Caesar's 33 wounds be well avenged, or till another Caesar have added slaughter to the sword of traitors.
Octavius, thou canst not die by traitors' hands unless thou bring'st them with thee.
So I hope. I was not born to die on Brutus' sword.
Oh, if thou wert the noblest of thy strain, young man, thou couldst not die more honorable.
A peevish schoolboy, worthless of such honor, joined with a masquer and a reveler.
Old Cassius still.
Come, Antony, away. Defiance, traitors, hurl we in your teeth. If you dare fight today, come to the field. If not, when you have stomachs.
Why now, blow wind, swell billow, and swim bark. The storm is up, and all is on the hazard.
Brutus.
Who calls?
Caius Cassius.
Noble friend, how came thee by this wound?
By Pindar's sword, and by my own command. This is my birthday. As this very day I breathed first, time is come round. And where I did begin, there shall I end. My life is run, is compass. Farewell, Brutus.
Forever and forever, farewell, good brother. Oh, Julius Caesar, thou art mighty yet. Thy spirit walks abroad and turns our swords into our own proper entrails.
My lord, Brutus.
Lucius, I thought thee dead.
Not dead, my lord, but near to it with fear, for I have been this hour searching upturned faces on this field, fevered and trembling, lest I should find your own among them.
Come hither, good Lucius. List a word.
What says, my lord?
Thou seest the world, Lucius, how it goes. Our enemies have beat us to the pit. It is more worthy to leap in ourselves than tarry till they push us. Good Lucius, I bid thee, not servant, but friend, hold thou my sword hilt whilst I run on it.
That's not an office for a friend, my lord.
My heart doth joy that yet in all my life I found no man but he was true to me.
My lord.
Courage, boy. Hold then my sword, and turn away thy face while I do run upon it. Wilt thou, Lucius?
Give me your hand first. Fare you well, my lord.
Farewell, good Lucius. Caesar, now be still. I killed not thee with half so good a will.
What man is that?
My master, sir. Marcus Brutus.
How died thy master, boy?
I held the sword, and he did run on it.
According to his virtue, let us use him, with all respect and rites of burial. Within my tent his bones tonight shall lie, most like a soldier, ordered honorably.
This was the noblest Roman of them all. All of the conspirators, save only he, did that they did in envy of great Caesar. He only, in a general honest thought and common good to all, made one of them. His life was gentle, and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, "This was a man."
You have been listening to the NBC Star Playhouse production of Julius Caesar, starring Alfred Drake. And now, John Chapman returns with a word about next week's production.
Thank you, Alfred Drake and company. And while we're in the mood, thank you, Mr. Shakespeare. Next week, we shall dip into the classics again. This time into Charles Dickens and into one of Dickens' most fascinating tales, Great Expectations. Our star will be the noted British actor and director, Cyril Richard. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next week.
Julius Caesar was transcribed and adapted for radio by Earl Hamner. Heard in the cast were Alexander Scourby as Brutus, Stotz Cotsworth as Cassius, Santos Ortega as Caesar, Patricia Wheel as Portia, Ann Seymour as Capernaum, Joe DeSantis as Casca, Carl Weber as Octavius, Hal Studer as Lucius, John Seymour as Decius, Roger DeCoven as Metellus Cimber, John Thomas as a servant, and Martin Rudy as a citizen. NBC Star Playhouse is a production of the NBC Radio Network in association with Gale and Adams, supervised by William Welch, and directed by Fred Wayne. Fred Collins speaking.
Hear exciting Last Man Out following the news on the NBC Radio Network.